This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Halftime down at the Dean Dome, North Carolina, 39-38 lead total at DraftKings down to 161.5 spread. Louisville minus 2.5 on the spread, minus $1.54 on the money line. If you think UNC holds on to this lead and wins, plus 120. Second half about to get underway. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. And then still to come, we've got Houston taking on Kansas. Quite the game coming up in about an hour to give us the latest from that and what unfolded at the Olympics on Sunday. Let's check in with Johnny Avello.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Indeed we do. The man who runs things over at DraftKings Sportsbook, fresh off the golf course, apparently. Beautiful day here in Vegas. The one and only Johnny Avello joins us right now. Johnny, before we dive into what unfolded yesterday, curious how the folks are betting tonight's game of the night. Houston on the road at Kansas. Kansas right now at DraftKings, a 2.5-point home dog.
They're actually betting Houston in that game, looking for a rebound from them. And the line is 2.5 on the road. Hasn't moved much, but that's, and they're betting the over also. But they're looking for Houston on the bounce back here. And, you know, Kansas has had moments where they've shown that they're, you know, a quality team, but more lapses than I would expect from this team this year. So it makes sense that, you know, the Cougars get bet in this side. In this contest.
And Jayhawks off an ugly home loss to Cincinnati over the weekend, so that probably plays into the public wanting to bet against Kansas maybe a little bit here tonight. John, on such a slow sports night, what's the handle like on that, your wagering handle like on Houston-Kansas?
Yeah, that's going to be the game of the night. Certainly, you know, North Carolina-Louisville is also a game we handled quite a bit on, but the other two games, you know, Corpus Christi, Southeast Louisiana, Nicholls State, Lamar, weak games there. So, and there's some others too that were some extra games that we're also doing. But it's just one of those nights where tomorrow's slate's much better. We got some of the Macs in action. We got the undefeated Miami O in action. So, just one of those kind of nights you take the day off.
Yeah, actually, a Tuesday College Hoops card is going to be really good. Tim and I are going to break that one down a little bit later. Any action you've seen on futures, College Hoops futures, that jumps out at you? We've had a bunch of big games here in the last couple weeks, Johnny, and the biggest over the weekend, Duke taking down Michigan.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped from betting Michigan, though. They've been this Michigan team is a team that can learn and learn quickly, and I just think they're still a very dangerous team. Duke did take some money also. You could have had them at around 7-1 or so. They're down to about plus 450. Florida, all of a sudden, they're a team of interest to the general public. The couple teams that have cooled off a bit. Connecticut's cooled off a bit. Kansas has cooled off a bit. Purdue's cooled off a bit. So, most of the money concentrated on some of these teams that have been playing real well all year long.
Johnny Avello joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. He's the man who runs things over at DraftKings Sportsbook, joins us every Monday. I want to get back to College Hoops here and how things were bet on Saturday night, but the main event of the weekend took place early Sunday morning over in Italy as the United States beat Canada 2-1 in overtime. Curious how the folks bet it. Was it just a flush of USA money? What about the total overtime prop hits? How did the action play out for you guys on Sunday with the United States winning that thriller?
Well, to put it in perspective on just hockey overall, it was the third biggest hockey game that we've ever had. And so that was the good part. The bad part is we got absolutely smoked on it. And that's going to happen anytime, you know, the U.S. is playing in an Olympic event, whether or a World Cup or anytime they're involved in a huge event, they're going to get played. I mean, everybody across the country wants the U.S. to win and they want to watch the game and they're going to have something on the game. And even though that was an early start, that thing was really heavily bet, and And like I said, probably 80%, more than 80% was on the U.S. So not a good outcome, but a great outcome for our country.
Jack Hughes with the winner in overtime for the U.S. in the gold medal hockey game against Canada. First time since 1980 USA's won in hockey. And that game started at 5 a.m. Pacific time. I was up to watch it. Were you, Tim?
I was in the mountain time zone, so I had an extra hour of sleep. But 6:10, I was up watching that game and didn't miss a second of it. It was fantastic.
Johnny, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention about that, you know, that 1980 game where we won the gold medal, don't ever confuse that game with any hockey games that are played today. I mean, that was a true miracle. I mean, you think about it. We had the amateur team playing Russia's best, and Russia at that time had a lot more providences than they have now. So they had a tremendous team. How we ever beat that team is a true miracle. Now that we're playing on even playing ground, you know, with our pros over there, it's not unusual for it. It was no miracle this year, but it was a great outcome for us.
I would say it was a bigger upset than Rocky knocking out Ivan Drago.
I actually had a money line parlay. I had USA to beat the Russians in 1982, Rocky over Drago. It paid really well.
I don't think it was the same year.
One was also fictional, but, you know, who's keeping track?
Johnny, how was Olympics betting in general? I don't love the Olympics. I think the hockey was the highlight of it, obviously, but how much betting action do you get at DraftKings on the Olympics now that it's done?
Pretty good. I mean, overall, it was really good. We did the curling, wrote a fair amount of money.
Oh, my
both
gosh.
All the hockey, even men's and women's, wrote good money. There were the ice skating did really well. There were some real good storylines around, you know, ice skating and skiing in general. So overall, no disappointment. We did well. And remember, you know, being in 30 different states sure helps, because there's people out there that have an interest in all of those sports that are at the Olympics. And so therefore, you know, our overall, we have a large audience.
You know, Johnny, you mentioned that yesterday's USA Canada game was the third biggest hockey game ever bet at DraftKings. Do you recall what one and two was? Was the Four Nations final up there as well?
Four Nations was one, and the other was a Stanley Cup final.
Okay.
So it was right up there with those two.
So going back to the weekend, not only did we have USA-Canada, but we had monster college basketball games. You had Duke taking on Michigan. And credit to you guys. You guys got the Duke-Michigan lineup, I want to say, on Thursday, which is rare for college basketball. Duke gets the win over Michigan as a slight dog. How was that game bet for you guys?
They actually bet Michigan in that contest. I mean, they bet the game. The game was bet on both sides, and it was bet quite heavily, and it was at a great time for viewing. But most of the money on that game was on Michigan. And I watched a lot of that game, and those two teams really had a tough time scoring against each other. Uh-huh. I mean, the defenses really showed up. They're both really good defenses. And, you know, I expect both of those teams to go pretty far in the tournament.
Yeah, Duke's defense especially impressive in that game. And right now, North Carolina opens up a 7-point lead over Louisville. How about this 46-39 at DraftKings? Live line, Tar Heels -2.5. Tar Heels a foot -180. And the betting public, heavy on the road favorite in this game, the Louisville Cardinals. John Avello, you said you just got off the golf course today. First time you played in a while. Weather's great in Vegas. Did you watch over the weekend at Riviera when Jacob Bridgman, Cinderella story out of nowhere, wins his first PGA Tour title at long odds, I think around 80-1. What did you have on him at DraftKings, and how was that result for you?
Good result. Yeah, he was a big number. I think he was more than 80. I think he was around 100. You know, even though he had a big lead going into the last day, he really shouldn't have won the tournament. Rory, for some reason, couldn't putt on Sunday.
Right.
Otherwise, I think he wins that quite easily. But that's the thing about golf. Don't ever think that a guy is safe, especially, you know, if Scotty's got a 7-8 stroke lead, yeah, he's probably pretty safe. A guy like Bridgman with a 7, 8-stroke lead? No, because the pressure, once the pressure, they start feeling it as they're coming, they get a bogey and there's about 4 or 5 holes to go and they're only up a couple and those great golfers are breathing down their back. And I thought he was very fortunate to hold on for the win. I thought there were a couple of guys behind him could have caught him, especially Rory.
Yeah, I almost blew a 6-stroke lead there late, and Rory had a chance to catch him but couldn't pull it off. Scottie Scheffler, another slow start. He didn't have an impressive track record at that course either, so I didn't know. Were bettors jumping on Scottie? Are they betting Scottie in every tournament, or did that cool off this weekend?
They're betting him. They're also betting him to finish in the top 5, top 10, top 20. Now, they're laying some pretty good juice on, right, you know, that top 20 and 10. So Scotty still continue to be a bet. Hey, Matty, let's face it. You know, he hasn't won lately, but he's right there. And his slow start is what's kind of been hurting him. He's been back a little bit too far. But he's been having some tremendous last days. So if he can get himself in a position where he's only, you know, somewhere within 5 strokes down after the first 2 days, of course, he's going to be dangerous. I think the guy, I'm starting to believe that Scottie Scheffler might be one of the best golfers we've ever seen in our lifetime. I'm really starting to think that because of the consistency that he has, being near the top of the pack each and every week against stellar fields.
Johnny, always appreciate it. Best of luck on the golf course tomorrow. It's going to be glorious this week.
I'm not playing tomorrow.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
46-40, North Carolina, 6-point lead. Strong start to the half. They actually started the half on a 7-0 run here.
49-40.
Woohoo, man. Okay. It is now the time, though, to look at Louisville from an in-game number, or are the Tar Heels going to run away with it? Number 4.5 right now. You could have got UNC at +8.5. They were down 23-13, and they were an 8.5-point home dog at that point.
Answer your question. I think now might be the time.
Yeah,
it's 5.5 is a live number. Louisville +5.5. That's probably a good take here. +240 on the money line. Oh. You got a long way to go here. You got 16 minutes to go in this game, and you're talking about a Carolina team that's not too tight on the defensive end of the floor. So Louisville can make a big run at any point here. Down 9, +5.5. I kind of like that bet. I don't like it enough to make it, but I'm thinking about it.
I'm putting a little small piece of 5.5 here on Louisville. Should be hitting the media timeout here soon, and UNC has the ball, so be curious to see if that number is going to change.
This is one of those spots, though, Tim, if you think about it. If you didn't bet this game before it started, you said, well, you know, I kind of like Carolina as a home dog, but I'm not going to play it. And then Carolina gets down 10. You could take Tar Heels +8.5 early.
Yep.
You could have Tar Heels +8.5 and Louisville +5.5.
Curious to see. I'm going to wait now. It changed the number on me briefly, so I'm going to wait and see what happens as we head into the media timeout, as Louisville's gone a bit cold,
ice cold
from the field right now. So is the regression coming as they miss an easy, I guess not easy, but a turnaround in the lane. So the number's actually now to 6.5 at DraftKings. So hopefully we get a media timeout here and I'm able to grab. Looks like our friends over at Stations Casino have 7.5 right now. Yeah. Might have to put that one in the old app here.
What's the juice on that number?
Let's see. It changes quickly. Minus looks like 125. So you're paying a decent premium there. Now it just changed to 6.5. So I couldn't get the 7.5 in. That's the challenge with betting college basketball live, Matt, is trying to get it in at the right time. 6.5 right now is the number at DraftKings, and I'm looking at what it is. Yeah, 6.5 looks like it's the number. Curious what Circa is. Probably 6.5 as well. Is 6.5 a spot that you'd like, Matt?
I believe it's 5.5 here.
Is it?
Circa? Yeah, 5.5. Yeah, 5.5, 6.5 looks like I think would be a decent bet with the Cards. Not that long ago, they were the favorites in this game.
Ooh, 7.5 is back at stations.
Well, take that.
I'm going to take it.
Take the 7.5. Every point can matter.
All right.
There was a local book that I used to use for live betting in college hoops, but I dropped this book, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years ago, because every time you tried to put in a live bet,
circle
it would spin, 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 and then it would offer you a worse number or a worse price every single time. If you did it, if you tried to put in 27 live bets, 27 times it would spin and offer you a worse price or a worse number. It's not a coincidence. Anyway, I just had to pull my money out of that book and shut it down. I really haven't used it much since in the last 5 or 6 years. I don't know if it still operates the same way, but there should have been an investigation into that.
Well, I am in. All right. I did not bet this game pre-flop, but the beauty of VSiN Primetime, 7.5 out there at our friend Station's Casino, and I'll take it. I did lay a little bit of juice on that, though. I laid $1.25. So Louisville plus 7.5 in-game right now. 49-40 at the under 16 media timeout down at the Dean Dome. And that's the beauty of live betting, man. You could set yourself up nice, but you could also get yourself into trouble if you keep live betting games and then ultimately none of them come home. But UNC at one point was an 8.5-point dog down 23-13. They now lead 49-40 under 16 media timeout. Very light night of college basketball. The big one, though, Houston and Kansas. And we just heard from Johnny Avello what we had known from the betting splits over at VSiN.com, Matt, that the bettors expecting a bounce back from the Houston Cougars tonight, laying the money line and laying the spread as well. If you do want to back Kansas right now, 2.5s are available. DraftKings, FanDuel, a couple of the national shops. I took a little 2 prior to the start of this show on the Kansas Jayhawks, and 2.5 just showed up at BetMGM as well. So 2.5s might show up before this game tips off, Matt, as it does seem like the public is looking to back the Houston Cougars in what they deem a bounce back spot for Houston off of back-to-back losses.
It'll be interesting tonight to see if Houston can find a way to get some points in the low post. The Cougars have not been very strong in terms of their interior offensive game this season. Not very strong in half-court offense. They got to rely on Kingston Fleming, the freshman guard, to create a lot of offense in the half-court. Which freshman star is going to be better tonight, Fleming's or Darren Peterson? I think that could be what this game comes down to. So I look at this as kind of a toss-up situation. I think it's a better live betting game than a pre-flop betting game.
We mentioned it earlier on the show, and Matt, before he went on vacation, we talked about it. AJ DeBanza from BYU was sitting at plus 550 to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. Darren Peterson, minus 400. You were able to get down on plus 550. That market has moved quite considerably. It is now minus $1.25 for Peterson to be the number one pick, and DeBanza at plus 130. My question, Matt, you have a great position on DeBanza. Is there a spot where you would look to take Peterson and just lock in a profit?
Probably not. I got plus 550, but again, let's be realistic about this.
UNC comes out, gets an offensive rebound, and now they lead by 12, so I could have got a better number at, but we'll see. 52
you're
to 40
always
right
going
to
get in at exactly the right time.
It would be nice.
It would be nice, but it's very difficult to do. You can't predict the future. I mean, the thing here is you got 14.5 minutes left for Louisville to get inside this number. So that you're talking about a 4.5-point favorite pregame that you got plus 7.5.
Yep.
All right. And you would think they would play it back to the number here in the last 14.5 minutes. So even if you lose that bet, I think you make a pretty good bet taking that number with the Cardinals. Anyway, talking about what were we talking about?
DeBanza versus Peterson.
Yeah. Okay. To be realistic, we were not able to get down a ton of money on this bet. Okay. It was a FanDuel.
Yeah.
And, got plus 550. We tried to get a bigger bet. We were offered a lower limit. We took the whatever was offered. Mm-hmm. Tried to get in another bet the next day, and the offer that came back was, you can have $3.25. This is not a joke. The first bet we put in was obviously in the hundreds.
Yeah.
Tried to make another one, denied. Next day, tried to put in a third time, tried to put in the bet, and the offer was, you can have $3.25.
You didn't want to put $3.25 down on
that? Aaron Moore said he was going to go ahead and buy a Diet Mountain Dew instead. seriously, what kind of offer is that? That's a freaking joke.
Speaking of Aaron Moore, he's not a joke. He'll be joining us coming up in 5 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's big one between Houston and Kansas. We'll start to look ahead to Tuesday. I think there's a bunch of interesting situational angles for the Tuesday night card as UNC gets another offensive rebound, and they are now up 14. So the UNC Tar Heels, who were down 10 early in this game,
without their best player,
now up 14 on Louisville, a 15-2 run, and they're going to get a steal and an easy dunk. And this was not the right time to get in. And
11.5 now the live number.
I would not get in now at this point.
I would take it now if you didn't take the 7.5.
UNC fans coming to life. What
has happened to the Cardinals here? This is a pitiful offensive performance by the Cardinals in the second half. What's the
17-2 here in the second half?
Oh my gosh! Pat Kelsey, wake up!
All UNC. It was it last Monday that we saw the remarkable performance? No, it was 2 Mondays ago when Louisville put up 118 on NC State. Michael Brown could not miss if he tried in that game. He finished with 45 points. And tonight, Matt, it's a different game. He is struggling quite a bit. Right now, Michael Brown, 5 of 17 from the field. He had 3 threes all in the first half, and it has been a dominant second-half start here. UNC led by 1 point at the break, and they now lead by 16, a 17-2 run to start the second half. 11.5 is the number, so quite the impressive performance here.
You're talking about a Louisville team that you just said scored 118 against North Carolina State and has 40 tonight.
An NC State team, by the way, who followed that loss up with a 82-58 win over UNC. Makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? Louisville can do absolutely nothing right now, but can they cover the live number of 11.5? College hoops, as you all know, is a grind. It's where real bettors find their edge. Dozens of games a night, constant line movement, and opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not going to beat those billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but with Sharp Plays, you don't have to. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Own the boards this college basketball season. Visit SharpPlays.com. The Professor, Aaron Moore, next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Louisville showing a little bit of life, number down to 6.5, a 7-0 run for the Louisville Cardinal at the under 12 media timeout. UNC, though, 56-47 lead. Still to come tonight, our primetime game of the night, Houston and Kansas. Right now, you can get a 2.5. Got to pay a little juice if you like the Kansas Jayhawks. Twos out there as well. To help us break down this game and look ahead to tomorrow's card with a lot of interesting situational angles, our good friend, the Professor, Aaron Moore, joins us right now. Aaron, I know you don't have a pre-flop bet on tonight's primetime game of the night, but curious your thoughts on Houston, Kansas. Kansas coming off the embarrassing loss to Cincinnati, but as we've discussed, Houston's lost 2 in a row, and Kelvin Sampson does not lose 3 in a row all that often.
So, Tim, I lean Houston. I want to bet Houston, but with those two losses. And then you just go against this whole Kansas situation of playing on Big Monday, Bill Self as an underdog. There's a lot of forces working here. If I had to bet ahead of the time, I think I would take Houston. I think I lean Houston, really, to be honest, when the game starts, and I'll be looking for an in-game opportunity. But it's interesting because of Kansas, Darren Peterson, all of these issues, I think, make it really difficult to bet Kansas. And we want to take teams. We've really seen taking teams off the rebound of a bad loss. So I want to bet Kansas. I don't want to bet Kansas. I want to bet Houston. I don't want to bet Houston. I'm really tied in this game. But once it starts, I'll be looking for a Houston play if I can.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I think about this game. And when you think that way, you're better off betting it live than pregame. Don't just start guessing at games. You're going to get yourself in trouble. You put yourself in a better position if you bet it live here tonight. Tim, by the way, update on this Carolina game, 56-47. So now a 9-point lead with 10:45 to go, and the live line down to 4.5. It was 11.5 a couple of minutes ago. All right, Professor, speaking of Darren Peterson, if he goes off and has a huge game tonight, it's going to help his NBA draft stock. What do you expect to see from Peterson tonight? And how do you analyze the market for the number one pick in the NBA draft? A bet you and I made a couple weeks ago on A.J. DeBanza +550, and that market has crashed.
Well, it is interesting that we're talking about Peterson, and then we look at that number one draft pick market. He's going against Houston. So obviously they're going to have good defense on him. Sanak is going to be an issue, I'm sure, down low when he gets in the lane. So the way I look at with Peterson is, yes, maybe he has a good game. He had 17 points against Cincinnati. Good game, but yet they still lost. I think it's really difficult at this situation for Peterson to change the narrative. We know he's talented. We know he was going to be the first pick when the season started. All expectations said that. And then he's continually found ways to really get bad press, get a lot of bad looks. We saw that picture certainly making the rounds on social media. I just think it's really difficult for him at this point to change the narrative. He basically has to play about 30 minutes a game. And if he hasn't done that consistently until now, what makes us think that's going to happen as the season progresses? Obviously, all guys get a little bit injured and banged up. So if he hasn't played 30 minutes a game consistently now, I don't see it happening. So maybe he has a good game here or there, but I really don't think the narrative gets changed. And Matt, the big knock against him is going to be eventually he's going to be compared to Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz. So what team would want to draft either of those two type of players with the number one pick? So I think that really is a strike against Darren Peterson.
Aaron Moore, there's no strikes against him. Just gives us straight facts every time he comes on the program, our professor. And Professor, looking ahead to tomorrow, Matt and I are going to dive into some of the situational spots. And there's some ugly dogs, if that floats your boat. I wouldn't consider this an ugly dog, but I do like the spot. Haven't bet it yet, but I see that you have it on your card. We've got Dayton taking on St. Louis. The last time these two teams faced off, it was a Friday night. And Dayton walked into an absolute buzzsaw. They got hammered by their rival. St. Louis won 102-71. Dayton, impressive, has been playing better, I guess I should say. They've won three in a row. St. Louis, they won a great second half on Friday night against VCU. Right now, 5.5-6 out there in the market for Dayton catching those points at home tomorrow night.
Yeah, Tim, I'm taking the Flyers with the points, and it is a situational opportunity here. So here's an interesting aspect about St. Louis, 25-2, obviously been playing well, really big game against VCU, got a little chippy there at the end. Well, as good as St. Louis is, they have not covered three of the last times they played on a Friday and then played on a Tuesday. So they did not cover that Tuesday game. Now they're going into Dayton, who's played back-to-back games. Dayton going to try to avenge that loss. So in this situation, I'll take the home team. And it is interesting, if we're going to look at St. Louis going against them, that Friday to Tuesday game situation, they lost at Rhode Island. So I think it can happen again here with Dayton. Not as good of a Dayton team as we've seen the last couple of years, but at home, they've got back-to-back home games. Here's a situational opportunity. I'm going to take the home dog with 5.5-6 points.
All right, let's go to the SEC. And you're going to take a small home dog here on Tuesday night. Oklahoma +1.5 against Auburn.
First thing I looked at this, Matt, is Auburn is 15-12, but they're KenPom's 34th ranked team. So it's kind of interesting. There's metrics, but do they ultimately equate to wins? And this is a disappointing Auburn 15-12 team. So Auburn's coming off that game, got a little bit lucky against Kentucky. Now they're on the road to Oklahoma. And Auburn's 7-game against the spread losing streak. I just don't think this is a really good team. They're not producing on the court. So I get Oklahoma here. Two straight losses after they beat Vanderbilt in Georgia. But once again, I'm going to take a team that's back-to-back home games, and it's a situation with the travel, Auburn coming off that Kentucky win. And it's interesting. Maybe if Auburn doesn't win that game against Kentucky, and as I said, it kind of happened in a lucky fashion, maybe they're not even a team that's favored in this situation. Maybe Oklahoma's favored. So I'll take Oklahoma, give me a point and a half on the as Auburn travels to Oklahoma.
I'll give you two. There are three books out there with plus two. Do you bet this early in the evening overnight, or do you wait to say, hey, 1.5, I might be able to get a better number if I wait? Have you bet this game yet?
Yeah, I bet it already. Okay. And I think it could be a situation where maybe Oklahoma does get a little action. Obviously, I'm wrong if that's pushed up to two now, but yeah, I took that one.
That's 654 in rotation, Oklahoma plus 1.5 or two. Let's go down to 657-58. San Jose State Air Force, huge game.
The pinata that is Air Force.
So Tim Murray of VSIN Stats and Information did a little ATS research here on the Falcons and how they have failed against the spread. Tim, what do you have on Air Force?
In the lovely year of 2026, the Air Force Falcons are 1-13 against the spread, man.
And that one win was by a half point. The one cover is by a half point. But I believe Air Force is down 35 at Grand Canyon, catching 24.5 and lost by 24. So it was a backdoor cover. So, Professor, do you want to bet against Air Force tomorrow night? San Jose State, a 6.5-point favorite in Colorado Springs.
Here's my handicap. Air Force is awful. I'm going to try to bet against them every possible opportunity. Now, San Jose State is not a good team by any means, laying 6.5 points. But here's an interesting aspect. We can look at all of these Air Force numbers, and none of them are good. Four straight games, Air Force has given up more than 90 points. So I look at that as a big factor here. If I'm going to take a rather weak team like San Jose State, Air Force is just giving up a ton of points, clearly issues with them. Joe Scott, their coach, all the issues that he's had not being there. It's just a situation I can't not bet against Air Force. That pretty much is the best way of saying it. Giving up all these points, they're not competitive. So I will take a rather weak team as a road favorite, but it's just a situation. Air Force, I don't know how anybody could bet on them.
Well, if you've been betting against Air Force, you could buy yourself a small private island. 13-1 ATS betting against Air Force, and the one win for the Falcons was a fluke. The Professor, Aaron Moore, with a sports media professor at Rider University. We'll let you go. Have you added any futures in the past week or two?
Last one I added was Purdue. I think we talked about this about 2 weeks ago, and I still think that's alive. So think about Purdue, a team that not a lot of people are talking about, but Bracketology has them as a 2 seed. If you can get them 5-1, 6-1, Final Four, I think that's a pretty good futures to have in your portfolio.
He's the Professor, Aaron Moore. Always love picking his brain. Aaron, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
There he is, Aaron Moore. On the fade train. Whoop, whoop. Air Force, 1-13 ATS in 2026. We'll update you on UNC Louisville and also get you ready for Houston, Kansas next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Primetime on this Monday evening alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. UNC at the free throw line, adding to their lead, 67-55 right now, as they are 9.5-point favorites in game. The total, which was once at 161.5 at halftime, Matt, has plummeted here as Louisville has really struggled shooting in this second half. And you were happy not to be on that over, Matt, because you thought about it pregame, ultimately stayed off, and looks like that was the right decision.
Well, I stayed off through the total mostly because North Carolina is without its best player tonight. You know, we talked about that in the pregame. And Caleb Wilson, about 20 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, shoots, 58% from the field. And he's out again tonight, and I just didn't really trust the Tar Heels offensively to hang in there with the Cardinals for 40 minutes. That has not been a problem. So the problem here is the Cardinals went ice cold from the field. I think 1-for-17.
Is that good?
And that's not good. It's a stretch here to start the second half, and that's how they turned that into a big deficit. There's a three, by the way, by Louisville to cut it to 67-58.
Ryan Conwell with the three there, as he has 15 points so far tonight. So a 9-point lead for UNC.
And I don't think it's great defense by North Carolina necessarily, because this is not, if you watch Carolina all the time, nobody would say, oh, this is a really good defensive team. It was Louisville just being really bad on the offensive end of the floor.
You know, Louisville, Matt, is a fascinating team. We mentioned the performance they had the Monday before you left. Isn't it funny? The last show you did, Matt, Louisville played on Big Monday. Kansas played on Big Monday. Louisville put up 118 in that game. And Mykel Brown, the stud freshman, scored 45 points. But you look at the substance of what they've done so far this year. A couple of their wins are aging a little bit better. They did beat their arch rival Kentucky earlier in this year. That's a tournament team. They beat Indiana, a tournament team, lost to Arkansas in the non-con, but they got swept by Duke. They lost to Virginia. The NC State win is aging better. SMU was a nice win at home. And down the stretch, they play Clemson on Saturday, and they wrap up the season against Miami on the road. They're a tournament team, but, you know, curious if this is a team you want to back in the NCAA tournament. But we're going to say this about a lot of teams, Matt, when the bracket comes out in 20 days. They've got a superstar on their team. Mykel Brown, is he a guy that goes Kemba Walker? Is he a guy that goes Shabazz Napier? Can you get a superstar guard taking this team? I'm not saying to win the title like those UConn teams, but deep in the tournament, an upset or two as they get into the second weekend or so.
Did you say Carmelo Anthony?
I did not say Carmelo Anthony. He's another one that...
you think about a freshman that's got a chance to carry a team in the tournament. I don't know. The more you watch the Cardinals, you just don't think they're going to get it done.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, not all that inspiring Louisville this year, but you never know. This is a team, though, that last year was knocked out in the first round by Creighton. So we'll see what Pat Kelsey's squad has going here.
That was a really good Creighton team.
Yeah.
A year ago.
Ryan Kalkbrenner and the way he's playing so far this year with the Charlotte Hornets. By the way, Charlotte Hornets, for those wondering, over their season win total. Nice to have an early
I love the Kalkbrenner draft pick.
Yep.
But the Hornets had a great draft. Now they're over the win total. It's great to see that, we can count that as a winner. But going back to Creighton, how about the two games that the Blue Jays had last week? They go to Storrs and they upset UConn.
Yep.
And Danny Hurley goes off. Our defense is a joke. So Creighton put up, I believe, 91 points on UConn.
Yep,
comes 90. Back and gets hammered by St. John's at the Garden, and I believe scores about 52. 50, okay, that was, 81 to 52 or something like that? What was it?
81 to 52, okay. Yes, spot on. You look at the stretch for Creighton. They got the three best teams in the Big East back-to-back-to-back, lose to Villanova by 11 at home, beat UConn on the road, and then, as you mentioned, lost to St. John's by 29. Not really sure what to make of this year's Greg McDermott's Creighton squad. They get DePaul in a revenge spot on Wednesday. Not sure that one's going to be the primetime game of the night. I'm just going to go on a limb. I don't know if Creighton-DePaul is going to be the primetime game of the night, as our game of the night is. Houston taking on Kansas, Matt. We heard from Kelvin Sampson earlier in the show regarding back-to-back losses. Well, why did they lose on Saturday to Arizona? Transition defense was an issue. Here's Kelvin Sampson.
But, you know, we don't, all year long, we haven't thrown the ball inside. We haven't had someone that we could throw the ball inside and try to double team or and be consistent with scoring. So what we've been all year is a jump shot shooting team. And that's okay. You can win a lot of games doing that. But at some point, you've got to get transition points. And that's the last two games that has been our biggest bugaboo is we're having to play way too much in the half court, way too much. We're not scoring off our defense as much.
Will that be an emphasis tonight for the Houston Cougars on the road at Fog Allen? They are the slowest team in college basketball, Houston, averaging just 62.9.
Wow.
Possessions a game. 354 out of 354. Quick update, under 4 minutes to go. Louisville just had a and one, so it is 68-61 right now, as we will see how this game comes down
to the
wire.
Stop the game. Tim's got plus 7.5.
I agree. Yes, call it right now. Lights off. Turn the lights off.
So going back to our game of the night, with Houston being the slowest paced offensive team in college basketball, it's remarkable that they have the record they do. And the record right now is what, 23-4?
Check that. They are not the slowest. I thought it was, they're 354 out of 365, so my apologies. One of the slowest, not the slowest.
They're in the bottom 15,
yeah,
which is close to the slowest-paced offensive team in college hoops. When you're really bad in half-court offense, it's hard to believe you can be 23-4. Because if you're playing at that slow a pace, you're going to have to find ways to score in a half court, and the Cougars are struggling with that. But Kingston Flemings, the freshman guard, has been a go-to guy. He creates off the dribble. He just finds ways to beat the defense a lot of times. And in half court, we'll see how Kansas defends that tonight. But I think, you know, let's throw those picks back up there one more time, because we've got 5 VSIM Pro picks on this game tonight. I think if I played anything pregame, I would probably go with Dustin Sweetelson's play here. Under 138.5 is the current total at Circa. I'd probably play this under. I think Houston's going to have to really make this a grinder tonight. You heard the Kelvin Sampson comment there.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is, if we can't force turnovers with our defense and create fast break opportunities, we have trouble scoring because we can't score in the low post, and we're not very good in the half court. So unless Kansas turns the ball over a lot tonight, this game is probably not going to go over 138.5.
Taking a look at the market before this thing tips off, you can get 2.5 if you do like the Kansas Jayhawks, DraftKings, and that juice is shortening. We heard from Johnny Avella earlier this hour. Bettors are on the Houston Cougars here in this bounce-back opportunity. Here at Circa, the juice has moved a little bit to 2-15 in favor of Kansas. So there are a little bit of movement, late movement here on Houston from a money line standpoint. Plus 125 is now out there. If you do like the Kansas Jayhawks in that spot, Circa just moved to plus 130 on it for a money line number here. So Kansas plus 130 now on the money line against the Houston Cougars. The number you'll hear a million times on the broadcast, but we'll add it for you anyways. Bill Self, 40-0 on Big Monday, straight up. And obviously, if he's going to win, he's going to cover because he is an underdog. So far this year, Matt, Kansas has found themselves, believe it or not, this is the fourth time this year, Matt, Kansas is a home underdog. Doesn't happen all that often. They lost back in December to UConn, 61-56. They were able to beat Arizona in that spot as a home underdog as well. And then Iowa State, they destroyed Iowa State as a home underdog. So 2-1 ATS and straight up Kansas this year as a home underdog. And right now it looks like the number match just ticked up to 2.5. So that late number coming in, if you do like the home dog, it's now up to 2.5.
You took two?
I took two.
Yeah. There was 2.5.
I should have waited, I guess. I didn't know which way the market would go, and 2.5 showed up.
If we had an NBA game of the night, It would have been the Spurs at Pistons. And Detroit, a 1.5-point home favorite, total of 232.5. Victor Wembanyama not having a huge night, 3-for-12 from the field, 10 points, 11 rebounds so far. But the Spurs lead that one 81-72 late in the third quarter. And world-famous tennis handicapper Lou Ford from Michigan is actually out here in the Circus Sportsbook. There he is in the white shirt. See him right there? The bald guy in the white shirt?
What's up, Lou?
He's here to watch the Pistons.
All right.
How about that?
Got some interesting nugget regarding Cade Cunningham maybe winning MVP. We'll discuss that in the next hour. Houston, Kansas, of course, about 10 minutes away.